Good morning, Mechanic Grove. As a friend was driving on a back road, she noticed a car following her rather closely. She could almost feel the irritation of the other driver as she drove cautiously and slowly navigating the turns. Of course, the other driver had no idea she was transporting 100 pounds of mashed potatoes and 2 crock pots full to the top of gravy and other food items, enough to feed almost 200 people. Sensing the other driver's frustration, she thought, if only he just could realize the fragile load I'm carrying, he would understand why I'm driving so slowly. Then another thought crossed her mind. How often am I impatient with people when I have no idea of the fragile load they may be carrying? It's easy to pass judgment on someone, assuming we know all the facts about a situation. But God has something different to say. In Colossians 3:12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. How often do we get frustrated at other people for the things they say and do, or maybe sometimes how they act? Did we first think that they may be carrying a fragile load? There are 2 quotes I think summarize this up. The first one, not all scars show, not all wounds heal, not all illness can be seen, not all pain is obvious. Remember this before passing judgment on another. And the second, it's easy to judge, it's more difficult to understand. Understanding requires compassion, patience, and a willingness to believe that good hearts sometimes choose poor methods. Through judging, we separate. Through understanding, we grow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us not to judge others. Help us to see them as your children and understand that not everyone carries the same burdens. Help us to show compassion and patience towards one another in the same way you do for us. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see each of you here. Another beautiful morning. Before I get into the message, there's something I'd like to share that this past Thursday, a week ago, I think it was, Pat and Jeannie were going to have a Zoom meeting on in the evening. It would be morning over there. So there were about, I don't know, 8 or so of us that were part of that meeting. And first of all, he showed some slides of different areas that he's responsible for throughout Southeast Asia, and Indonesia was one. And when you see pictures of anywhere in Indonesia, what do you see? Just crowds of people. Anyhow, he had five prayer requests then, and he would ask certain ones to pray for this. And, you know, they're sitting over there in their home in Cambodia. And he says to me, Dad, you pray for the new believers throughout Southeast Asia. And I've thought about that a lot since, how technology makes it possible for us to be involved from any point in the world, really. And so I prayed for the new believers, even though I don't know who they are, but God knows. And so we continue to live for him in the midst of chaos, really, throughout the world. This COVID-19 thing, who knows how long it will go on. I have a question for you. There's one psalm that is written by Moses. Of all the psalms, does anyone know which one it is? No one ventures to take a guess. Well, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 90. Now, this is a familiar psalm. You've heard it before. The title of it in my Bible, which is the New King James, is The Eternity of God and Man's Frailty. Moses, the man of God that we know him to be from what we have in the Bible, it is thought that he penned these words in the time when he had to be, when he had to lead, not really do any leading, but be in charge of the waiting period to every faithless individual of that generation that came out of Egypt, those 20 years old and older. The generation who was right at the promised land. You remember they sent 12 spies over there to check out the land, and they all came back saying it's just a great land. The produce of the land, they had brought some back to show the people. And yeah, the produce is great. It is really, really a great land. But, and what was the but? We saw giants there. And they were afraid that God wasn't able to secure their safety in this new land. And they got so upset that they were just ready to get a new leader and head back to Egypt. Well, then whenever there was really a tough situation, God would step into the picture. And so he stepped in and gave what he had to say. What he had to say was, because of their lack of faith, that generation above 20 years of age would not go into the promised land save for two people, and I'm sure you know who they were. You have to know one, because I understand Wayne preached on him a couple weeks ago. Who was one of them? Caleb. And the other was Joshua. And they tried to reason with the people with no success. And so that waiting period till every one of that generation had died in the wilderness before they could continue moving. So think about that background as I read this psalm. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Even before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood, they are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up, in the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our years, or the days of our lives, are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. 17 verses of tremendous insight into the God of which we serve. Actually, I guess I'm going to dwell on the frailty of man this morning. And the title of my message is Speaking of Dying. I was grabbed by it the other day as I heard a news report on how many so-called deaths have been in this country because of this COVID-19. And it's mind-boggling. And then you think of all the other countries in the world, along with the fact that every day there are people dying throughout the world of a lot of other different causes as well. But we are very frail compared to God, who always was and always will be. And as he begins this psalm, he says, "You have been our dwelling place in all generations, even before the mountains were formed, even before you formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God." I don't know how many of you were caught the other day in any rainstorms. Was anyone on the road? No one but me. Why, I could see this to the north as I came up through the buck. It was just as black as night almost. And the further I got toward home, the heavier it was raining. And it came to be that it was a total downpour. People were pulling off to the side of the road with their four-ways on. But I wanted to get home. And so I said, "Lord, keep me safe," because you just couldn't see. It was raining so hard. And I made it home safely. And later in the evening, one of my customers, a neighbor to Nevin, called me and he said, "Ken, how much rain did you get over there?" He said, "It was white." "Oh, it was white for the longest time." He said, "You probably had 6 inches or more." I said, "I don't know. I wasn't going out and check it the way it was raining." Anyhow, when I did check yesterday morning, I had 2.5 inches in, but just across the field, maybe a mile, I heard they had 5. And it was so heavy there that rushing water took out a wall in a chicken house, and of course, then everything caved in. And so that was the job for all the Amish neighbors yesterday. But I said to Joanne, the thought hit me, if it was raining that hard during the flood for 40 days and 40 nights, I could easily understand the amount of water that would have covered the earth. I mean, it just poured. Then I heard later that the man that called me said he got a call from his father-in-law who lives down near Intercourse, and they had 7 inches down there. So I knew that that water would hit the Peckway, and I figured that up where Joanne grew up, there was water in the barn there. And another thing that amazed me, you farmers know, You see these long tubes of bailage, and water rushed down through there and hit that one row of bailage and just sliced it in half and just moved one half of it like to the left. So now you have this big L of bailage, and of course now he has to try to figure out how to feed from both of them or else try to tape the one up somehow. But the power of water is just amazing. And we sure do serve an awesome God. In the light of who God is and who we are, we know because of sin entering the world that we are all going to die sometime. And I want to begin this morning with a story that I read recently, and this happened back in 81. A young man flew up to Alaska, and he was really concerned about the beauty of Alaska and how he might be able to film this. And so he was flown in with $1,400 worth, I think, of provisions, a couple rifles, and all sorts of paraphernalia to film. And he was there for a long time, and all of a sudden the thought hit him, you know what? Ever since I was dropped here, I have not seen a soul. And I have not made any provisions to get out of here. Now, what do you think of a fellow like that? He wasn't too smart, was he? Well, he died there. No one ever came to pick him up. And so when they... I don't know if it so happened that someone finally thought of taking him in there several years before that or what, I don't know. But when he was found and they went through all his film and all that he had to, all the words that he had down in his computer and so forth, he remarked about the glory of creation. And as time went on, he became very, very worried that he had not made provision to get out of there. And so he died beside a nameless lake in a nameless valley, as the story goes. Now we would think this guy was not too smart. And yet, how many people go through life never thinking about that someday is going to be their last day and they're going to move into eternity either with God or without God? And it happens all the time. So Moses tells us here that our days are not very many in comparison to God. If the days of our lives are 70 years, and even by reason of strength, they are 80. All we have is labor and sorrow. Talking about sorrow, I just heard this yesterday. The father of this Linda Stossfus, he's a minister in the Amish church, and this is really, really hard on him. He's not doing well emotionally or physically. He's not eating well. They've had counselors in for him and his wife and the family. So pray that somehow something would be found out rather sooner than later as to where she is. If she's not alive, at least closure can be brought to the situation. But this thing of going day after day and not knowing, it takes its toll. And so I know his name is Lloyd, and I'm not sure that I heard the mother's name. Anyhow, they certainly need the prayers of God's people. Sadie. What's her name?
Sadie.
Lloyd and Sadie Stossfus. Now, she was a Stolz Foodstaff U.S., married an F-O-O-S. Stolz Foods. So anyhow, what I really want to look at this morning here are four things that stick out in this psalm from starting at Psalm 90, verse 12. The first thing, teach us, we're asking God to teach us to do what? To number our days. What's that mean? I don't think it means to teach us how to add or multiply. I don't think it's a lesson in arithmetic. But for the fun of it, I did figure out, I think I'm pretty close as to how many days I've lived on this earth so far. It kind of blew me away. I came up with 28,345 days, 0.25, because of leap year. That's a lot of days. No, I don't think that's what he was referring to here. What he is teaching us to do, or what he is telling us to do, is to teach ourselves to be concerned about how we live our lives so that we're ready for that day when either Christ comes and takes us home or we depart this life through death. I just had a neighbor recently that passed away with a heart attack, severe heart attack. He was not a believer, that as far as we know. And he did not want it to be brought up in conversation. He didn't seem to be concerned about it. It has bothered me that I never really spoke to him about his need of Christ in his life. And we have just the most gracious young family moved in, right neighbors to them. And he said to me, I don't believe he was a Christian, was he? I said, no, don't think so. Oh, he said, what a shame. And it is a shame that people go through life and don't consider that someday they're going to die. They know it. All of us know it. And yet we don't talk about it. It's nothing that we want to talk about. But yet, back in our minds, we know it. So Moses is telling us to think about our number of days, and in that gain wisdom in how we live. The next one that sticks out is verse 14. Satisfy us. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. I think the thing that the mercy of God that we think about that applies to us is in that God sent his Son to be our Savior. And I just, as the man was singing there right before the message, in the picture is of Mary holding Jesus as a child. That was God in the form of a baby, like all babies are born. That was God. And he grew up to be our Savior. That's the mercy that he had for his creation, that he would send his Son to be our Redeemer and our Savior and to bring us eternal life so that we can come into his family through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we wonder why people turn it aside. Satisfy us early with your mercy. And that's why it's so important for a young person to come into the family of God, because they have their whole life ahead of them to live for his glory. The third one is, make us glad, verse 15, make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Gladden us is the third one. Gladden us in our days, in our walk with God. Yeah, we will see a lot of evil. It's all around us. We interact with people all the time who are not his children. And we work around with people who are his children. And so our lives need to speak for him in the way we live, in the way we speak, and just the way we appear in public. We just need to be followers of Christ in all our actions. And so we ask God in his mercy to gladden us. Give us a glad heart. Who wants to be around someone who's gloomy all the time? I work with a few guys like that who can't seem to see anything good about anything. And you'd just as soon not be around people like that. We want to be glad people. We want to have glad hearts for what God has done for us in his love and mercy. Yeah, we may faint by the wayside. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17, for the cause of Christ we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Yeah, we go through tough times. That doesn't mean that we can't have a glad and happy heart if we're in the family of God. Yeah, it can take a toll on us, the things that may appear in our lives. Yet we need to ask each and every day for number one, for him to teach us. Number two, for him to satisfy us. Number three, for him to gladden us. And number four, for him to favor us. Moses here says, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And then make us glad, which is gladden us according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Now we're asking the Lord to let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. So we're asking his favor, and we're asking it twice at the end of verse 17, that he establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We may wonder as we live our daily lives in light of being a believer, does what we say, what we do, what we think have any bearing on those that we work with from day to day? And I think it does. I think it means quite a bit to those with whom we interact from day to day. And we're asking God to establish our work. Not that we're anything special, but we've been saved by his grace, and we've been given the proclamation to live for his glory and to make disciples of all men. That's our mandate. And I think sometimes, at least in my own life, that I should have said or done or this or that for his honor and glory, and I didn't. I I didn't do it. And so we ask forgiveness for the times that we fail and ask that he really favors us in our work for him and establishes the work of our hands. So I'd like if we could remember these four things. Ask him to teach us, to number our days so that we will have wisdom, for him to satisfy us with his goodness, which he does day after day, to gladden us with his mercy, and then to favor us and establish us as believers in our work for him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Moses. We read so much about him in the scriptures and what a great man of God he was. And yet, he made his mistakes, and one of them cost him to be able to go into the promised land. And yet we know that he was very special to you because he appeared on the mount there with Jesus, he and Elijah. And so he has much to teach us in the word about how to live for you. So I pray that you would help us to use these four things that I spoke of here this morning that jumps out at us from this psalm, and help us to truly be your people in the midst of very much chaos and throughout the world. The chaos of this virus and the lives that have been lost because of it. Yet we thank you that you know all about us, you care for us, and you give us grace and strength for each day, for as long as you allow us to be here. And so we pray that your favor and your blessing be upon us as we go this week. Give us your grace, and we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go, and God be with you.